Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. What I've declared the first day of official summer. Out of school on Friday, so summer's begun. Our registration pads in the pews. Please sign those and pass them down so everyone can register. Do we have visitors this morning?
We do.
Welcome. Do we have visitors in the center? Welcome. Do we have any visitors over? To my right?
Back in the middle.
Oh, back in the middle. Sorry about that. Welcome, Maria. Well, welcome, Ray. Welcome.
There's two residents from Alabama. And they think we're going to one retiree is out. We've got another one coming up, haven't we, Kathleen? Real soon? Not this week, but the following week.
Okay.
We'll have that next week.
And Brother Larry, you let last one pass me. You didn't introduce your new grandson.
The family brought the new grandson in last Sunday, about time I was beginning to preach, and so I kind of ignored them, but they got recognized after the service, and they're here today, aren't they? Where are they? Oh, there they are on the back.
There he is. He's talking to you.
That's Thatcher, Alan, Gross. Right at the back. Okay. All are doing well.
Very good. Do we have any other visitors? Okay, announcements. Do we have any announcements that anyone needs to make this morning? Welcome, honored guests. How about that? Okay.
why, if you look this from Wednesday, Thursday, you may have got something you didn't understand. Gary fixed it, though, and or Julie won. So thank you, Gary and Julie. And it's back to where it ought to be. Something happened, and here I have to tell you, I don't even know. But
okay. United Telephone did it to us.
So we got it fixed.
I understand we have lots of youth that are leaving us this afternoon to go to Crystal Springs. Hope they have a wonderful time. Made many, many journeys to Crystal Springs. It's a great place. You all have a wonderful, safe week.
Thank you. Y'all said we'd recognize the
seniors
after the special music.
Mm-hmm.
That was a special music.
Special
so
music.
We haven't forgotten you, folks. Just didn't like the name.
Okay, at this time, do we have prayer requests, those that we need to remember in prayer this morning that are not already on our prayer list? call to worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
The whole earth is full of God's glory.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God.
Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Let's all stand and turn to our hymns, hymn 267. Come, thou Almighty King, and be among us.
Into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Traditional song for community service, communion service.
But if we remember that the word, the Greek word that is used in the New Testament for the Lord's Supper or communion, I think the Eucharistia or the Eucharistus means bringing thanks, then this song will be a good invitation to bring thanks to God. Dornan.
Nick Turco. Daniel Bomar. And on behalf of Daniel, Gary Wilkstep. PJ Franciscan. PJ, I think, is in Alabama playing ball. Sparkman. We also have one college graduate that we knew of, so. And accepting for Matt, his dad gave. I'd like to congratulate everyone, our young ones going into the fourth grade, our seniors and our college students, especially the seniors who are here today, because I did call them and try to say, please come. So I do appreciate, guys, that you did that. Thank you very much.
Back to Sunday school, we had a teacher for every class volunteer.
We did. We had
too much on teacher.
Yeah, we had someone volunteer for all of our Sunday school classes. So I do want to say thank you to all of our volunteers. And after church today, we are going to Bricks for a Sunday school teacher's luncheon. I guess we'll meet just out front in a kind of caravan down there. So thank you again, teachers, and all those who volunteered to do that.
While we're at college, we have one first-time visitor in this section, Mr. Russell. I don't think he's been with us before, so welcome. The young Mr. Russell.
Thank you, Ken. Our offertory sentence today is, oh, Lord, I forgot children's service. Are you kidding? Children's service, Miss Andrea.
Thank you.
taken from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11. To the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. I invite the ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings today. None of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am the Father, and that you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my command and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Turning your hymns now, if you will, please, to hymn 383, a fitting song after the small print of the scripture in the bulletin. Not long after I turned 40, I woke up one morning and couldn't read the newspaper. I now know what that over 40 disease really is. But we need to open our spiritual eyes so that we can see Jesus. Oh,
special request that this day
she had her grandbaby that we just offer a special prayer for her. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for life and this life. Thank you for the privilege of participating in bringing new life into the world. Lord, bless this child, bless these parents, the grandparents, great-grandparents. Be a blessing, but allow them all to be a blessing. Bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Trinity. The Trinity is a doctrine that I won't tell you everything that you wanted to know or might have wanted to know about the Trinity this morning. My confession is that I don't know everything about the Trinity, and I doubt if anybody else does, short of God. The title this morning and the theory, the understanding, the revelation that we see in the Bible is speaking of one God and three persons. Some people call it manifestations, three manifestations of God, three revelations of God. God revealed Himself in three ways. We may truly need to have a spiritual eye-opening if we could understand the Trinity as we might want to. The purpose of this message this morning is because it's Trinity Sunday and a doctrine that we need to make the church aware of again, or maybe to make the church aware of. We preach on certain subjects on certain Sundays. And in the Christian year, as someone has determined, the Christian year beginning with Advent, going through Easter, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, and the Sunday after Pentecost is Trinity Sunday, where we look at this great teaching of the church and maybe be astounded or a little more confused again, but hopefully we would come to a greater understanding as hopefully God would reveal to us that which we need to know, or He sees that we need to know concerning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I hope to just increase our understanding of God and the three persons, as we call it, of the Godhead. The setting. What is the setting where Jesus gave this teaching that we have read for our scripture lesson, where He talks about the Father Himself and the Holy Spirit and the interconnectedness between the three, or the oneness of the three. Jesus had met with the disciples in the upper room for the Passover meal, the last Passover meal that He would share with the disciples before His crucifixion, before His death. And John tells us about the foot washing experience, where He washed the feet of the disciples, and the other three gospel writers tell us about Him instituting the Lord's Supper, which we are about to observe. Then after this experience, He begins to teach. And I'm not sure just where it took place, either in that upper room or outside that upper room. Maybe they had already arrived in the garden. We find Him later praying in the garden where He was arrested, the Garden of Gethsemane.
then a few weeks ago, we talked about the great high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed and we have recorded in John chapter 17. Well, this is chapter 14, 15, and 16. And today we're looking at a passage from chapter 16 of John, and a passage from chapter 14. And the passage from chapter 14 we looked at last week also. You may remember that. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. And then we get to the Gloria, and we sing about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you will, think about God, and God being a mystery. Have you ever thought that God was a mystery? Have you ever felt that you couldn't quite grasp or quite understand all that you wanted to about God? He's been described in so many ways. The Bible speaks of Him in so many ways, and then preachers have tried to describe Him, and they've described Him in so many ways. God is a spirit. God speaks. God creates. God is a mystery. To me, it's especially mysterious when we think of the Trinity, or the three aspects, or three manifestations of God, or the three revelations of God. The Apostle Paul spoke of mysteries being revealed from God, and some things have not yet been revealed. There are some things in life that we just don't know. There's some things in the Bible that we just don't know yet. Maybe we'll have them revealed to us when we enter into heaven, and St. Peter will say, "Now I'm going to tell you all about it, and you can understand." We don't know even if we'll need that or if we'll be interested in it. But there's some things that we fail to understand. I think the point is brought home in an account of some nurses from the United States going to train in Liverpool, England, in a hospital. And do we have any British people here? I don't want to offend you, but we think British people speak funny, don't we? We can't always understand them. And so these American United States citizens went to Liverpool to train in a hospital, and they were broke. They were students, and they didn't have much money, so they had to limit their food, or their food was kind of limited most of the time, to hospital fare. And do we know anything about hospital fare? Do we have anybody that works in the cafeteria at the hospital? Don't want to offend you, but we have nobody here, so I'm going to talk about it because they're not here. Okay. No. People complain about it a lot. Now, they do. The cafeteria is pretty good where we go eat, the visitors go eat, but they say if you're a patient, just watch out. It's terrible. Maybe it's because you've taken some medicine that messed up your taste buds or something like that. But anyhow, these nurses were having to live off of hospital food, and they were probably wanting some good old American food. But anyhow, sometimes the patient's family would bring food to the patient. The patient wouldn't eat it, so they'd give it to the nurses. So one day, a patient's wife brought some apple pie. Nothing more American than apple pie, right? Baseball, Chevrolet, and apple pie. Is that right? Brought some apple pie. These girls, they were excited because the wife brought the apple pie to one of them down to the kitchen and said, "Would you eat this up for me?" And so she and another nurse ate it up. They ate every crumb, devoured it, and enjoyed it. A few minutes later, the wife came back and asked, "Is my husband's pie hot yet?" That's a little slow catching on, isn't it?
some things we just don't understand. Is that right? That nurse just didn't understand what that woman was saying. Let's think about God. Many efforts
have been made to explain God being three, yet being one. Some use water, and they talk about
liquid water, and they talk about frozen water, ice, and they talk about boiled water, steam. All still water. Others talk about an egg. The white, the yellow, and the shell, but it's all part of the egg, and together is one.
I think St. Patrick tried to define the Trinity with a shamrock.
Some people have used a person. I'm four people now. This happened about 2 years ago.
I'm a son, then I was a husband, I'm a husband, then I was a father, and now a grandfather. But I'm still one person, but I'm all three of them.
And Melanie has a story about a banana. And I think Sheila told her this story, and I believe you want to tell that part.
Here this morning, because it was a long time ago, you told me that your father had shown you this simple illustration. Being in preschool so many years, I'm really, and maybe it's just me, I enjoy visual learning. I learn best when I see how it's done. And to explain the Trinity is what Sheila's father told her. You can take a banana, press it, open it. It's all banana on the inside. You can put your thumb down the center, and it splits into three equal parts. Each part is still wholly banana, nothing but banana. And yet it's all one when it's together, but in three pieces. And so I have used this for years to explain the Trinity, or to help children understand the Trinity and help me understand the Trinity, how God can be three in one. And I've also used to explain fractions, so that's another lesson for another time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sheila, for sharing. Thank your father for sharing it. We thank him. Then I thought of a quarter, and when I thought of it, it sounded much more, 25 cents, I guess. It sounded much more better. And it is, when I woke up this morning, I said, does that really do it? But we got 25 cents. And there's 25 pennies there. That's a quarter's worth of pennies, right? And then I have a quarter. It happens to be a Maryland quarter. Just happened to pick that one up. And that's Melanie's home state. So she's front and center stage this morning. And then, but you can have two dimes and a nickel. Or you can have five nickels. Wouldn't be three, though, would it? Or you could have three nickels and a dime, and that'd be four. But we tried and tried and tried to explain the Trinity, and all of them come up short, do they not? But let's look at the Scripture. We'll look at the Scripture and see what it says. First, go to John 14. That's that little bitty print that you can find bigger in your large print Bible for you or past 40. And if you will look at that, in verse 10a, we find that Jesus is the Father, or Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. Pretty simple. Jesus is talking, and that's what he says. And then in 10b, Jesus says the words are not his own, but the Father living in him. And he is doing the Father's work. He is not only speaking
what the Father said. He is doing what the Father said. And then in verse 11, Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. So Jesus is repeating this. How do we learn? Probably best learned by repetition. So here Jesus is repeating. And then in 16, he tells what the Holy Spirit, when it comes and he's going to send, it will, the Father will give the Spirit of truth. And if you go back where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and we come to the Father through him, if he is giving the Spirit of truth, he's giving us the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus being the truth, and the Father gives that to us. Then you move to chapter 16, and you've got 5a, just the first portion of this. Jesus is going to the one who sent him. And if you go back to the first passage in the Bible about creation, in the beginning, when God created the world, and it speaks of more than one, it speaks in plural. And then John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus being the Word, God's Word in the flesh. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and Jesus was God, and we know that He is God. Next thing, we find that Jesus will send a counselor, and the counselor will guide us into truth. And the counselor being the Holy Spirit. Or the counselor being, in one place, one version called the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, will guide us into truth. And that's guiding us into Jesus. And the Spirit, Jesus says, will speak what Jesus says. And then the Spirit, Spirit in verse 14, will bring glory to Jesus. Then Jesus goes on to say, that all that belongs to the Father, all that belongs to God, is His, or is also is Jesus's, and the Spirit will take from Jesus and make known unto us. And Jesus will take from the Father, or the Spirit will take from the Father and make it known to us. Now, do we really need to know about the Trinity? Well, it can't hurt us. But why do we need to know about the Trinity other than it can't hurt us? Well, it's God. The Trinity is God. It's God that we need to know. And to know God is eternal life. Jesus died to save us from our sin, but we needed to be saved from our sin so that we could experience eternal life. If we experience eternal life, that's to know God, or to experience God is eternal life. So if we want to know eternal life, we need to know God. And we come to God through Jesus as the Holy Spirit pulses the world. The lost world. One Sunday school class in the gym this morning was talking about the ways of the world. The lost and dying world needs to know that we get to God through Jesus as the Holy Spirit moves in us and draws us to it. Can't come to Him unless the Spirit draws us. That's biblical, isn't it? Only if we know this ourselves can we tell it to the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And now I invite you to join me as we celebrate His presence by focusing on this table and the elements thereon. Hear these words. Father, we're eating.
Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take it and eat it. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Invite the elders to come forward, active elders. I believe that's present is Paul and Terry and Jim and Carol. Then I invite Gary and Diane to assist.
expression of adoration for you. The song that's number 265.
Rest and abide with you now and forevermore.